All right, so we are finishing off Simon Reish Pei Aleph, Reish Pei Aleph Sif Hei, which is somewhat of a different, I'm not sure a different sugi or not, but the first ones was, well, the first, most of the Simon had to do with people who, questionable people writing a Sefer Torah, and who's permissible to write and who's not permissible to write it. So then this all of a sudden shifts to be a case where the person is a permissible person to write a Sefer Torah, but then all of a sudden he comes up with a claim. So what would that claim be? So if we go, I guess, on the first page of the source sheet here. So Reish Mem Aleph, so on the bottom right is where it says, hey. So that's the sugi here. So Sefer Torah, so Hasofer Ba'odu Biyadu Shelo Ibid Ha'oros Lishman. So the example is the sofer who wrote it all of a sudden pipes up later and says, oh, by the way, that Sefer Torah I wrote, the klaf was not ma'abi lishma, was not tanned. The tanning process did not happen lishma, which means essentially that the entire thing is going to be puzzle. So now the Beis Yosef quotes the Gemara Meseches Gittin. Coincidentally, the rest of the sugi was the rest of the siman is also Meseches Gittin, but 10 pages earlier. But anyways, the Gemara here is going through several incidents like this, and then it tells the following story. Ahuda asil kami de Rabbi Ami. Somebody came in front of Rabbi Ami. Amarle sefer Torah shekasafti liploni askaros shelo lo kasaftim lishman. The askaros, meaning the names of Hashem, were not written lishman. Were not written for the sake of Hashem. So as we might recall from earlier, the names of Hashem require an extra kavana while one is writing it. So he didn't have that. So he, if that's the case, so then the Sefer Torah would be possible. The thing is, it's now later. So Amar Lei says to him, Sefer Torah beyond me. He says, where is the Sefer Torah now? So he responds, Amar Lei beyond Elkeach. What do you mean? The guy who bought it. So it's now his Sefer Torah. So Amar Lei, Neman ata lahafsid tzcharecha, bi'ata neman lahafsid Sefer Torah. It says, you are believed to cause a loss of your money, right? So therefore, you are believed if you say, I shouldn't be paid, but you're not believed to pasul the Sefer Torah. And because it's no longer in your possession, you don't have the ability to passel it anymore. It's now it's somebody else, so you're not going to be able to get it. So now, he says, so I understand that if you lose money because it's no good, schar de sefer Torah kule mi hifsid. He says, but do you lose the entire value of the sefer Torah, meaning you could still get paid for the rest of it, and then you'll redo the names of Hashem. So Amar Lei, so Rami responded, yeah, in Shekol Sefer Torah Shein Eskar Shalok Suvas Lishman, Einu Shava Klum, it's not worth anything, because it really can't be, fixed, because you can't really erase the names of Hashem in order to rewrite them correctly, as that would be erasing the name of Hashem. So the Gemara asks, that's part number one. So then the Gemara actually skips a couple of lines, and the Beis Yosef continues. Sahuda asal kami de Rabbi Abahu. So there's a similar story about somebody who came in front of Rabbi Abahu. So Amar Lei, he said, Sefer Torah shekasafti laploni. I wrote a Sefer Torah for so and so. And gevilin shelo ein avadatin lishman. And the tanning, the parchment was not tanned lishma for the sake of Sefer Torah. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Abahu says, Sefer Torah b'yad mi. Whose is it? So Amar Lei, b'yad alokeach. Well, the guy who bought it, since he now has it. So mitoksha ata neman lahafsid scharecha, ata neman lahafsid sefer Torah. So he responded by saying, well, because you're believed to cause yourself a loss of money, you're also believed to cause a loss of the sefer Torah. I mean, we'll believe you and say that the sefer Torah is now pasul. Right? So the Gemara asks, Umay Shnami de Rebbe Ami. He says, why is that any different from the first halacha? I mean, the first time he said the names of Hashem weren't Lishma, and he said, we don't believe you in terms of passing the Torah. So why is it any different than that case? So Hasam Ikalim Emar Tai Bid Rebbe Yirmiya. That there, we're going to say that they made the mistake with regards to Rebbe Yirmiya. meaning they thought that, like the shita that Rabbi Yirmiyah quoted, where he said that that you could just redo the names of Hashem. So maybe that position follows Rabbi Yirmiyah. So okay. However, also maybe you can remember the Rabbi Yirmiyah, but Hacha Kevin the Kam Mafsid Kuli Agre. But here he's going to lose the entire amount of money. The Atav Amar, and he comes and says that it was done not Lishma Imor Kushta Ka Amar. He must be telling the truth. So the suggestion is that both sides believe that if he, both sides agree that a person is believed to say the Sefer Torah is pasul if that means that he's going to lose a lot of money off of it. But if he's just suggesting that, but if you assume that there's an easy way to fix it, so then we would believe him because he's not really giving up that much money with regards to his with regards to what his loss is going to be. So Rashi explains here. It continues on a Perish Rashi. Hasam ikel meimar de mishaker v'nischavin lahaknit. Because he was lying, and he had kavana to drive the guy crazy, to bother him. And he figured he'd only lose the cost of redoing the names of Hashem, Kribi Yirmiya. And when it came to the klaf, the Yudehu she yafsid eschar, they know he's going to lose all of the money, the Asi Amar, and he says, anyways, that it's a problem, Imar Kushtakamar. So then we assume that he is actually telling the truth. Okay, so that is the halacha. So somebody comes back and says, hey, that Sefer Torah that I did, actually, it was pasul, so then we would believe it. So how is this, okay, so good so far. So how is this then quoted in Shulchan Aruch? So if we take a look, Resh Pei Aleph Sif Hei, right? So that's, where are we? Source sheet, page 2. So Sif Hei, it says there, Sefer Torah She'amar HaSofer, that the Sefer Torah, where the Sofer says, li'achar sheyatzim yado, after it already left his hands, lo kasafti hazkaros lishman, the names were not written lishman, so eino neman, he's not believed, l'pasla, aval neman hu lahafsid kol schara, but he would be believed to lose his entire payment, v'lama eino neman l'pasla, shema lo nischavin el lahafsid al lukeach. Because maybe he really only had in mind to cause a loss to the buyer. While zes escharo v'domesh einu mafsid by mirazu el eschara escharos. Or at least he thought that he would only lose the cost of redoing the names of Hashem. But lefichach imamar sefer Torah ze orus shelo einamu vadim lishman. But if he says that the sefer Torah the skin was not done lishman, mitoch sheneman, because he's believed to lose all of his payment, neman lepascho, he'd be believed to pass the Torah, shakol yodim shim ein ha'oros mu'uvadim lishman, ein lo schar klal. Because everybody knows that if the oros, if the skins were not mu'ubad lishman, were not tanned appropriately, ein lo schar klal, he wouldn't be paid at all. Now the Ramah adds in, he says, well, it's not going to not be paid at all, right? Miuke schar chumish ba'alma. He'd be paid the cost of a chumish, because that's the value of what he has produced, right? He produced a chumish. It's not going to be used for as kriyas haTorah. It's going to be used for people to read. So l'shalim lo, dahami kol makom lo gara michumish, right? It's no worse than a chumish. It was written not lishma. It was written not for the sake of a sefer Torah. So fine, but with regards to the whether he's believed about in theory, could he say, oh, by the way, that thing that I made is going to be pasul? We only believe him if he assumed he would be losing, if he recognized when he said it that he would be losing all of his money. That seems to be the klal, the rule that's being put forth here. Okay, so the Shach adds in that if he had written the Sefer Torah for free, right, he had a good close friend of his and he decided to write a Sefer Torah for free, or shoot, is the same thing would apply, I assume, to a mezuzah too, right, and he wrote it, and then they broke up. He says, oh, by the way, that thing that I wrote is pasul. So the Shach says, in that case, he would not be believed because the guy doesn't stand to lose any money. So therefore, that claim would not be accepted. Now, there is an interesting Piskei Tshuva on the bottom here. So in the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom of the page, on page 2 of the source sheet, so the first in Yud Aleph. So Yud Aleph, he says, Kasav B'Sefer Chamudi Daniel. So Sefer Chamudi Daniel, I think we mentioned it before, it's going to come up a lot more as we get into Hilchos Mezuzah shortly, because the Chamudi Daniel is a Sefer that I don't believe we have the entire Sefer. It's a Sefer that was lost, but the many pieces made its way into the Pisrei Tshuva. So whatever we have here, coded here, and coded elsewhere, we have, and that which we don't, we don't. So we don't actually have the full Sefer, but we do have quotes from it. So this is one. So it says the Chamudi Daniel, Ksav Yad Sofer Shenishba Shlo Yichtov Kisvei Kodesh Bi'ir Hazos, that if you have a Sofer, that he said that he swore that he was never going to write a Sefer Torah for a certain city. But Avar, because of Sefer Torah, and then he went and did. So Nira de Psula. So it seems like it would be Pasul. That's what he suggests. I am Ashkasu Simon Reish Chesiv Katan Hey, which is, I guess, in Hilchos Shvuos, B'Shem Shuva Zichron Yosef. Fine. Because of Odin, he also wrote, a Sefer Torah Shetikin Adam Echad, She'eni Yodea Shechok Tuchos. Let's say a guy corrected a Sefer Torah, but he didn't know the basic halachos of writing a Sefer Torah, specifically Chok Tuchos, right? That's the rule that you're not allowed to carve letters out. Rather, every letter has to be written positively rather than just carved away from other things. So he didn't know that halacha. And then all of a sudden, he learns it later on, and he says, oh, Gewalt, I've been writing Sefer Torah or correcting Sefer Torah for all these years without knowing the halachos of Chok Tuchos. So what happens then? So says the Shetikin Adam Shein Yudei Aschok Tuchos Pasul. Afilim Omar Shelo Asa Kain. Even if he says that he didn't do it, it's still going to be Pasul. The Milsa Dulo Ramia Lavadaiti, because it's not something he necessarily would recognize. And Ayin Leel Simon Samachim. Okay, so if he realized that he didn't know the halachos, so he can't then go back and say, well, you know, I don't think I had any chok tuchos errors in a certain sefer, in certain works that I did. He says that already, that we're not going to believe. That just means he's not neman, he's not trustworthy with regards to fixing it, and therefore we're going to assume all the work that he did is going to be pasul. And then finally, this last Pisrei Tshuva here, he says, because he'd be believed to lose his money. So Ayin Meshuv is Shvus Yaakov, right, Mevuar Sham, the Dafka ima sefer Torah adayin biyat ha'ish shemacher lo asofer. He says, yeah, that's so long as the Sefer Torah is still owned by the person that the Sofer sold it to. When the Sofer wrote a Sefer Torah, sold it to, I was going to say Bob, but Bob, I see, is on the call now. Right, sold it to some guy, right? And now the Sofer pipes up and says, hey, you know what? I realize the Sefer Torah is possible because I didn't write it appropriately. So then that's where this simon is going to apply. However, about imachro oso aish la'acher enu neman, right? But if that person sold it to somebody else, meaning now Bob has already sold it to another person, so then he's not going to be believed. Why? Dim asa mamin l'sofer ata motzi mamon miat ish shemachru al pied echad. Right? So then if we believe him, we're going to be believing him to cost another person money. Meaning, there's a sofer, right? The way things usually work today is that there's a sofer, and then there's a dealer, and then there's a buyer. So the sofer, sometimes dealers are working with things on consignment, essentially, meaning they just, that's what I do, is, you know, I will show samples of things, and then a person wants it, so then I'll go get it from the person, from the dealer, from the sofer. But if already it's been, if I already sold it to someone else, and then the sofer comes along and says, hey, you know, that Sefer Torah that I had, that was really pasul. So not only am I losing, so now I have to go back to the person I sold it to, right? Like, I don't know, Sam bought a Megillah, right? So for example, and then all of a sudden the sofer comes and says, oh, by the way, that Megillah was really, the Ibud wasn't Lishma. I'm not sure Ibud Lishma is required for Megillah, but let's say it was. So now I go to, so now do I have to believe him? So what essentially is happening now? I'm going to Sam, so he's going to give me back my money, right? But besides me giving, but now if I go to Sam and say, oh, by the way, Sam, that Megillah I sold you, the sofer told me it's pasul, so I'm believing one aide to lose money, because I'm not just going to have to pay Sam to give Sam the money back. I'm also have to give Sam my profit back, right? So now this Eid Echad, this original person, is causing me a loss, and I don't have to trust him for my loss. So says the Piskei Tshuva that under those circumstances, it would not be, he would not have ne'amanus for me to go back for me. The sofer would not have ne'amanus for me as the supplier to go to the buyers and say, you have to give me the objects back and I'm gonna give you your profit back, right? He would not have the amount of trust that we would have to do that. Right, we don't trust one witness in order to separate money. That's why Rabbi Abahu asked in that Gemara, where is the Sefer Torah now? Right, because that would of course affect the psak. And then he says, "Va'ayin Masha Kusav Leel Simin Kuf Chaf Zayin Sif Katan Ches." So you don't have to go back to Simon Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Katan Ches because I put on the source sheet as page 3, right? That is volume. That's a different volume of the Shulchan Aruch. That brings us to Hilchos Yayin Nesach. The problem is you can barely read it. Not bad if you blow it up. Yeah, there you go. Oh, beautiful. So Ayin V'Tshuvos Shvus Yaakov Chelik Bei Simon Ayin Aleph. Right. So we're on the bottom of this page where it says Sif Ches. Right. The bottom left of the page. I have a little mark there, I guess. So Ayin Mitshuvah Shvus Yaakov, where he says, Shenishal Ruven Sheniach Lasus Ayde Poel Echad Yeno Behechsher, right? That I hired somebody to make kosher wine for me. V'nasen lo schiraso. And I paid him for it. V'achar kach machar hayayin l'shimon. And then I took this wine, which I had paid Ruven to do, and I sold it to Shimon. B'yoker. V'arech v'harbe. And, it was expensive, and I made a lot of money off of it. V'achshav ha'poel omer, so now the poel pipes up and says, oh, by the way, she'osu yayin nisnasech. Oh, by the way, that wine is really yayin nesach, b'pshiyuso, because I made a mistake, u'modal chata'av, and I feel really bad about it, right? And he's realized that he sinned. V'rotze lahashiv schiraso shehu sach rav. And he wants to return the money, which was a lot of money. Ad esrim nun, I can't tell what that is. Ad esrim, I'm not sure what that says. Ad esrim. I was reading off my screen, but let's see. Mem days. Esria Resh Tes. Again, I think it's the amount of money. So ineman lesor hayayin. Is he neman to asur the wine? Vehishiv, and he says the af de pashut b'shulchan aruch the im shacharo harbe mikol makom dafki im haya adayin biyad lokeach. He says, yeah, if it was a lot of money, so then yeah, that's only if it's still in the hands of the buyer, a lokeach harishon, right? As haya neman, then he'd be believed. Masha enkin achshav, as opposed to now shekfar machru. The revach ba harbe, right? That it's been sold and there was a lot of profit, right? Imata mamin lepoel ata motzi mamon, right? So if you'd be believed as a worker, then ata motzi mamon mibal habayis shemachru, you'd be able to take money from the bal habayis that sold it, right? Al pied echad. Imata mamin lepoel ata motzi mamon mibal habayis shemachru al pied echad. V'Torah amra, but the Torah says lo yakum eid echad. Beish lahotzi mamon al piv to take money. The hevi raya lizeh me'ashas v'sayim l'chein right near Ali right benilun shilfanenu the afal pisha neman lahafsid scharo eno neman lahafsid hayayin shekfar machru. That even though he's believed and we trust him with regards to losing his own wage, we're not going to trust him with regards to ruling the wine to be pasul such that somebody else will lose their wage. Okay, so. That's I was trying to think of if there's applications to this in the world of kashrus or not. I don't know. Somebody realizes they didn't do a proper check of food or something, and then it gets sold, and then it gets sold to someone else. So then it would be in that case maybe we wouldn't believe him. It seems like this would apply even on a level of Doraisa, even on a biblical level, because after all, the Sefer Torah is the idea that Ibud has to be Lishma. We assume that that is a Din Doraisa. So, okay, anyway, so that Adkan Simon Reish Pei Aleph. Okay, so now we move on to Simon Reish Pei Beis into the although there isn't much in the Beis Yosef. But take a look in the Beis Yosef. I think we're on page 4, right? Page 4 of the source sheets. So the din is mostly in the... There we go. Okay, so Simon Reish Pei Beis. So the it's mostly spelled out in the Torah itself. The Chayiv Adam Linho Kavod Gadol B'Sefer Torah. A person is obligated to have a lot of kavod for the Sefer Torah. U'mitzvah liyachid lo makom u'lachavid oso amakom, to set aside a place for it and to honor that place. U'lahadro biyoser, and to make it beautiful, like, you know, build an Aron Kodesh, right? Velo yaro keneged Sefer Torah, not to spit in front of the Sefer Torah. Velo yigale ervaso kenegdo, in order to be undressed in front of it. Velo yifshot raglov kenegdo, not to spread one's legs out in front of it. I'm not really sure what that's referring to. Velo yanichenu al rosho kemaso, in order to carry it on your head like a burden. Velo yachzir achorov leSefer Torah, not to throw it behind you, so to speak. Not to have it behind you, meaning not to stand with your back to it. Unless it's at least 10 tfachim high. Ella, rather, yashav lefanim b'kovid rosh, v'imu v'yir v'fachad, you should sit in front of it with, be serious and be nervous, right? Shehu ha'ed ha'neman al kol bayi olam, because it is the aid that gives testimony for the whole world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'yashim b'chal le'ed, as referring to the writing of a Sefer Torah, the name will be in it forever, v'yichavdenu lefi kochun. You should honor it, to as much as is within your power. Okay, so it's easier to shift from page to page here. So let's just go to the Shulchan Aruch now for Aleph, and then maybe we'll go back. So Shulchan Aruch here says, right, Chayv Adam Lino Kavod is what we read, V'Sefer Torah, Mitzvos Liachid Lo Makom. And by the way, I'm not sure this is all, the Torah is really just quoting straight from the Rambam. I shouldn't say straight, mostly straight from the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't have Makor listed in the Nosei Kalim there. Doesn't have a source for it. So this must be collected, sort of his thoughts on what would be appropriate honor. Although the Vilna Gaon seems to quote sources where these things may have come from. So the right, give a kavod and set aside a place for it, and to make it nice, and not to spin in front of it, and not to open the erva. Vil yushod raglov kenegdo, right, and not to stand in front of it. Not to stand with your back to it, unless it's 10 tefachim high. So if you take a look at the Taz, right, the Taz here in Reish Pei Beis Aleph says, Kein hu berambam, right, v'nira, the Sefer Torah tzarech shetia gavoa mina adam. So we see that the Sefer Torah should be higher than people. Aval ibcha lo, but not the opposite, have a derech kavod, but the opposite would not be considered derech kavod. Elo de betur kasav gavoa mimena. And it has to be above him. Venira, and he says also, and this is the part, right? Rabbanim ha'omdim l'fnei Aron Kodesh, right? So most rabbis, every Shabbos seem to be in violation of this halacha, because they stand with their back to the Aron, right? So how is that okay? So he says, V'nira l'fnei Aron ha'kodesh, says, Einol b'chlal iser. So says the Taz, that's not including the isers, eh? She'omdim achareihem l'aron ha'kodesh. Why? Kimet she'asefer sorer munachas ba'aron ha'kodesh, Hava kemo b'rshus acheres, because by putting the aron in the aron kodesh, that's considered like it's a rshus acheres. That's considered as if it's like a separate area, and therefore you're not going to be in violation of this halacha. Okay. In the Piskei Tshuva here, then at the bottom, so he says right linho kavod. So then he says the Piskei Tshuva, what about this minhag ul inyan ma shenoagim be'ez shenoseya hamelach metaltalim sefer Torah l'chvodo, that they would take the metaltalim sefer Torah, I'm not sure what that is, if it's sefer Torah itself or like the decorations of the sefer Torah, and they would honor kings with it. It sounds like there was a minhag that they used to, if a king would come to the town, so they would give either sefer Torah or ornaments from the sefer Torah. And he says, "Reisi b'tshuva k'sav yad mashakasav hagon rav shaptai katz." Don't know what that is. Shakasav she'ein limchos, don't protest it. Behavi rai mashakasav rabam halachos aval demifnei kavod malachim od hevi rayos lezeh. That in the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, he talks about things that would be due for Kavod Malachim, and you can bring other proofs to this as well. So at least the Piskei Tshuva is quoting those that sanction the practice of either using the Sefer Torah, or at least articles of the Sefer Torah, to honor the king. I think Rabbi Rakefa tells the story that when he was a kid, Roosevelt came down the Grand Concourse one Shabbos in the Bronx, and they specifically put up an Eruv that Shabbos. Not sure why they didn't, or they put Eruvs up in front of the shuls that Shabbos, and as Roosevelt came by, so all the shuls came out with the Sifrei Torah in order to give kavod to Roosevelt. We're not going to debate the wisdom of that, but that is what happened. And then there's also, of course, the famous Truman Sefer Torah that was granted to him. So this was there's an article about a year or two ago that the Truman Sefer Torah was in the museum downtown. Why was it in the museum downtown? What was the story with this? Like, where did the Sefer Torah come from? Right. So there's a famous picture of the first president of Israel of I'm missing. His name? Who is the... What?
Weitzman,
right. Weitzman presented Truman with a Sefer Torah to thank him for recognizing Medina Yisrael, recognizing Israel, I think, 9, 13, something like that, very soon after Israel declared its state. So the... So where did Weitzman all of a sudden get a Sefer Torah from within like a week? Like this, that picture apparently was like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks after the Declaration of Independence in Israel. So where did he get the Sefer Torah from? So apparently Weitzman was friends with what was his name? The Chancellor of JTS at the time, whose name was Finkelstein. And he called him up and said, "Hi, I need like a present for Roosevelt. For Truman. I know you have under your jurisdiction the Jewish Museum. Can I have like a menorah from there that I could present to Truman?" So he said, "Listen, I it's not really all the things in the museum aren't really ours. It's really all on." It's really all owned by other people, so I can't really give you a menorah, but I do have something of value that I could give you. I actually have a Sefer Torah that I presented to my son recently for his bar mitzvah, which I'm not quite sure what that was. That's quite a gift, if it actually was a regular Sefer Torah, but I presented for his son. You know, how about you use that, right? Truman would probably appreciate getting a Sefer Torah." So he said, "Okay, all right," and that was the Sefer Torah that was given to Truman. So apparently it was in Philadelphia recently, and Finkel, the boy, that kid, the bar mitzvah kid, didn't know about this. And apparently his father told him, "Oh, by the way, I had to give your Sefer Torah away to Weitzman, who's giving it to the president." And apparently, so he didn't know what to say. He didn't hit him right away. But apparently it was lost. So apparently later on, Weitzman said to Truman, what do you plan to do with that? Maybe it would be good if we would put it in a synagogue." So Truman's like, no, I plan on putting it in my library for everybody to see." And meanwhile, he's like, "This kid wants his Torah back." So apparently Weitzman said to him, yeah, but in terms of caring for the parchment, caring for it, you need to know how to care for it. To which Truman says, "Don't give me any of that. You're not getting the Torah back." So Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Torah still sits in the Truman Library, and apparently the Finkelstein descendants aren't so thrilled with it. But anyways, apparently the idea of giving a Sefer Torah to royalty at least is hinted to in this Pesachei Tshuva. Okay. Fine. Okay, so now we could go to Bayes. So let's go back into back up a page to page 5. So the what does it say here in Bayes? Ha'roa osu kishuhu ma'alech. If you see the Sefer Torah as it's moving, you're required to stand in front of it. Ve'yu ha'kol odim ad sheyavor zeh shemolichu v'yagiyu l'mkomo. And everybody should stand while it passes you until it gets to its place. O ad sheyischase meinem, or until you can't see it anymore. And dvarim shebeluchus habris hein shebesefer Torah lekach tzarich lichvodo. And the things that are in the luchus habris, I'm not sure what this is referring to. Yes, it's a sefer Torah, so therefore it obviously has the luchus habris. So I don't quite get why that's making it special. But for that reason, therefore you need to honor it. So the if you look on the side here at the Beis Yosef, so about halfway through the section, before about four lines before it gets wide, he has something from the Rashba. He says here, Kosova Rashba, Sheel Samasha Shamas She'in Hakal Omden Kan Bishash Shliach Tzibur Mara Haksav La'am, that people aren't standing. V'she'elas heich efshar lahem shelo yamidu. He said, how is it possible that they're not standing? It sounds like he's asking on a minhag. Okay, apparently they do hakba, and nobody stood up. So what's going on? So it says the Rashba, Tshuva nir she'viyecha lekach, masha amru, im mifnei lomdeha omdim mifaneha, lo kol, im mifnei lomdeha omdim mifaneha lo kol shekein. That it seems that it should be based on the fact that the Gemara says that if you stand in front of of the learners of it, certainly in front of it, you should certainly stand. But it could be that that maybe there's no chiyuv to stand for the Sefer Torah once it's on the platform, because it's in another place, and the tzibur is in a different place. And the person is not obligated to stand for their Rebbe if he's in another section. And the students below. But as it's traveling from through the shul to the duchen, to the bima, so that's when the people stand. Al umdam umat umikarov ro ksas migdoli atzibur sheish lamu cham gam b'shash shliach tzibur zokfo umara haksav. And maybe you should also stand when the shliach tzibur picks it up and shows the ksav la'am. Right, in Sephardi shuls they lift the shul, they lift it beforehand. Right, they lift the what's it called, the Torah beforehand, so that everybody's able to see the ksav. So the Rashba is suggesting that, you know, at that point they should be able to stand and give kavod to the Sefer Torah. Fine. So, but his, by the way, I think in Europe, if you go to like the Ramaz shul, that one I recall specifically, the Ramaz shul in Krakow, but other shuls in Poland, so often the bima is like raised very high, and sometimes there's even like sort of mechitzos around it, that there's like almost like walls that are surrounding the bima where the Sefer Torah is read from. So it could be that it's fulfillment of this din in order to establish that that is a makum acher, and therefore people are not be obligated to stand in the presence of the Torah. I think we normally assume that once the Torah is down, then one is not obligated to stand anymore, especially because the way the Rambam referred to it was that you sit in front of the Sefer Torah with you know, out of fear and respect. So the so just one more line here that the Rashba said, it really is invoking a Gemara, because the Gemara, right, the Rashba said, if you have to stand in front of the learners of it, certainly you have to stand in front of what they are learning from, right? That is that's a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin where that's coming from, right? So it sounds like that's a Kal V'Chomer, right? What is a Kal V'Chomer, right? That if A, then certainly B. Right, so which is the kal and which is the chomer in that case? Right, it sounds like it's the right. If you're going to stand in front of the rabbanim, kal v'chomer, you'd have to stand in front of the sefer Torah. Right, that seems to be the way the Rashba is quoting it. Right, good so far. So the obvious, if you stand in front of a rav, certainly in front of the Torah. However, in the Gemara in Maseches Makos, towards the end of Maseches Makos, it comments about. It has a discussion about how much makos a person should get. How many makos should a person get? So when we talk about giving makos, so what's the number that's always thrown out? What's the number that's stated? 40, right? It's 40 makos, but we only give 39, right? They figure out based on darshaning the psukim that instead of giving 40 makos, you only give 39. And the Gemara makes a comment: look how great the rabbanim are. The Torah says 40, and they were able to diminish it to 39. And then the Gemara then makes a comment and says, "And kama tipshe ika b'shuka." He says, "How many?" Literally means how many stupid people are out in the shuk because they stand in front of the Sefer Torah, but they don't stand in front of the Chachamim, right? Comment implying that what? If you're gonna stand in front of a Sefer Torah, obviously you should stand in front of the Talmud Chacham. Right, so Oh, sorry, Michael. Yes, sir. No problem. There you go. New sort. Oh, I don't. Everyone. Okay, additional source sheet for those that that didn't have the link. No problem. So it sounds like there seems to be this conflict in Gemaras, which is considered considered more chumer than others. I mean, which is more obvious, right? Do I stand for the Sefer Torah or standing for the Talmid Chacham? It seems to be a stira in the Gemara, and the Ron asked that question. So the Aruch Lener, in his commentary Maseches Makos, I put this on the source sheet. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, sorry about that. So the Aruch Lener quotes several answers, one of them being the Maharsha, who says that it's standing for the real din is standing for the Sefer Torah, right? And that's the real Kal V'chomer. If I stand for the Rabbanim, certainly I should have to stand for the Sefer Torah. So what's the Gemara in Makos telling us, right? All these silly people that they only stand for Sefer Torah and don't stand for the Chachamim. So says the Maharsha, because they don't recognize what the Rabbanim did for them. Right, the Torah says they'd get more makos than the Rabbanan, and figured out a way for them to get less. And in general, often the Rabbanan were able to figure out ways to make life easier. So therefore, it's appropriate to stand in front of them also. But the real halacha is really the one Maseches Kedushin, that the Kal V'chomer, if you stand in front of the Chachamim, certainly you should stand in front of the Sefer Torah. And therefore, we have the ability to sort of make these connections and see what the halachos are in Hilchos Kavod HaRav, which we learned, a year ago or so at this point, and make those applications to Hilchos Kavod Sefer Torah. So if we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, all right, we'll should have a little bit of time left. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, Reish Pei Beis Sif Beis, we're now on page 6 of the Maor Mekomos here. So right in the middle of the page, it says, HaRoa Sefer Torah Kishu Mahali, Chayiv Lamot Yeruchuyiv to stand. Until the one who is standing with it takes it to its place. Or until you can't see it anymore. Adds the Ramah, we don't have to stand. There are those who are machmir. That was actually later on in the Beis Yosef, but that's probably referring to scroll chumashim. And then Hashomea kol hanosei sefer Torah afal pi she'eino roo son chayav lamud. Even if you hear the sound of those that are carrying the sefer Torah, that would be sufficient to require one to stand. So what are these bells? I mean, you hear the Sefer Torah and you hear the bells. If you just hear the Sefer Torah coming, that's enough to require to stand. So what is that? So you take a look at the Shach on the side here, Dalid. He says V'chein kol ha'pamonim, also hearing the bells on the Sefer Torah. But Ayin Taz v'hu b'divrei Harav Manoach. But see the Taz who's quoting from Rabbeinu Manoach. Right? What's it talking about? So the minug many have the minug of placing these bells on the crowns of the Sefer Torah. Right? So suggests the Shach. Yeah, that's what the Ramah is referring to. That if you hear the bells coming, so that's enough to require you to stand, and that might be even the purpose of the bells in the first place, to alert people that the Sefer Torah is coming, and therefore they should stand. The only problem with that is that if the purpose of these bells is to alert people that the Sefer Torah is coming, so then what are you doing? You're causing a sound. And then what is the problem? So maybe that's a problem on Shabbos, right? How is that okay for Shabbos? So that becomes a famous issue, and that starts off with this famous Taz. So the Taz here on the side in Sif Beis quotes me, right? Kol hanosei Sefer Torah. So Beis Yosef, maybe v'shem Rav Manoach, the Adkein Nagu Lasos Pamonim, right? We have this minug of putting on the bells. Aval Lo Nira Lefianias Daisi says, but I don't think it's a good idea. Deen Kain, Bishabis Ein Lahotzi Osa Sefer Torah. Because if that's the case, you shouldn't be allowed to take the Sefer Torah out on Shabbos. Why? The Mashmiya Kol. Because you're making a sound. As we see in Orchaim, Asimin Shinhei Sif Yud Aleph, Gabe Zug Shebet Savar Habehema, Upokek Zuz Shebet Savara. That the bell that is on the neck, around the neck of the animal, you're supposed to stuff it with cloths in order so that the sound doesn't, in order so that you don't make a sound on Shabbos, b'ayin mishum iser hashmas kol b'Shabbos. And that's because of the prohibition of making, of creating sounds on Shabbos. Right? There's a siman in Siman Shun Hey, it talks about what an animal is allowed to carry around on Shabbos. Because just as people aren't allowed to carry things without an Eruv, an animal is not allowed to carry things either. Right? There is at least a Jew's animal is not allowed to carry things either, as the V'chamoro, right? There's a prohibition in the Aseret Dibros. Talks about the Isser Malacha imposed on animals as well. So the Mishnah lists things that an animal's allowed to wear and things that he's not allowed to wear, or quote-unquote carry or not. And then mentions a bell. So it's allowed to wear the bell, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Shabbos, because that's considered like a design. It makes the animal look better. But it's you're not allowed to have the bell ring, because that would then be Hashmas Kol. Right? So, says the Taz, right? Just as you're not allowed to have the bell around the neck of the cow ring, you also shouldn't be allowed to have the bell on the Sefer Torah ring. Right? So how is that okay? So, V'afal gav this sham b'simin shin lamates kasav rama'a v'yishomrim the bizman hazeh hakol shari, that the Rama suggests that everything is okay. Dein anu b'kiyim b'asiyas klishir. Because nowadays we're not so experts in making of in creating instruments, and therefore maybe it's okay. The problem is the Ramah doesn't actually permit that halacha in the Ramah is not about permitting playing with instruments. That halacha in the Ramah is about clapping hands, right? That the Ramah says based on Balei Tosfos that we're allowed to clap hands today on Shabbos. Because the Mishnah said you shouldn't clap hands because that might be like an instrument, and if it's like an instrument, then you might come to fix the instrument. So says the Rama. So the Rama quotes the Tosfos as saying, no, but that's okay, bizman hazeh, in the because we're not experts in fixing instruments anyways. But the Taz says, yeah, but that's not that's only about clapping hands. That's not about actually playing an instrument. Right? We call Malcolm Kevin Shiladas Rishonim. The people are here. Rabbi Yishon Zman is that Kol Shari the Ein Onu Bekim Asiyas Klishir Mikol Malkum Kevin Shiladas Harishona Yish Iser Amay Navid Lachatil Iser Befrat V'Sefer Torah. Right, and if you're going to say that there is the other opinion that it should be prohibited, and why would we do that with a Sefer Torah? Right, V'Su Niras She'ein Mekel Sham El Ba'osan Dvarim She'ein Domim Mamish L'Klishir. And that also, it's only things that aren't really klishir. Because there it's talking about clapping hands. Bahach zug, when it comes to these bells, the dome tfei l'klishir, where it's more similar to an instrument, everybody should hold that that's iser. Lachein nira li, says the Taz, she'ein lasos osan pa'monim, umishum hachi lohi viu rama, and that's why the Rama doesn't quote it, ukvar inu shahaya kein, and the Taz says, and I've been in shuls that they have these bells on the Sifrei Torah, and I've protested against it, and I've removed them. Right? So the Taz is very anti the bells on Shabbos. Not the Hasidish bells, not bells Hasidim, but. Yes, but the Kohen Gadol is not subject to is a rule, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that Dini Durabanan don't apply to Mikdash. The Levim played instruments on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's required with regards to the Kohen Gadol. But it wouldn't necessarily apply to the Sefer Torah. But, so many of us have bells, even in Congregation Beth HaMedrash, there are some bells on those different Sefer Torah. So this is picked up by the Mishnah Berurah. That halach in Shulchan Aruch, where it says, around the next page 5, so the Ramah is on top. He says, "V'asur lahakus b'Shabbos al delz b'tabas kavuy." You're not allowed to use a door knocker on Shabbos. Afal pisha einu mechavi l'shir, even though you don't want a song, mikol makom hol v'akli miyuchad l'kach asur, because it's a kli that is set aside for that. It's prohibited. V'lachein asur l'shamish lahakus al delz likur l'beis haknesses. Therefore, the shamish should not go around knocking on the doors with the door knocker. I assume he assumes with the door knocker. Even though you're waking people up for shul on Shabbos, right, which would be an excellent job for the Gabayim to do, to just go around from house to house, knocking on all the doors, telling everybody that it's time to come to shul, right? So apparently that was the minhag in Krakow, but the Rama is saying, don't use the door knockers for that. So in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page in Sivav, so he quotes from the Taz there, as well as in Yoredei Reish Pei Beis, Zar place, the Mizem Muchach, the Asur Liklos Beshabbos, Osan Paroches, Sheish Ben Pamonim. That you can't use a Paroches that has bells on it. I mean, not just the Torahs, but apparently even the, there are bells on the Paroches itself. Lashmiya Kol Shebachosh, Shebachosh, Keshaposkim Aaron, Vachain Lissos Pamonios ala Atzei Chaim. And also to put Pamonios on the Atzei Chaim of the Sefer Torah, that's also inappropriate, because that creates a sound. But the Shach disagrees, because it's for the purpose of a mitzvah. As we say in Simon Shin Lamates, the mutter that you're allowed to dance on Sefer Torah, dance on Simchas Torah to honor the Torah, so too here it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, so therefore it should be okay, says the Mishnah Berurah. But then he says it also, when you open the paroches, right, you don't have kavana for the sound, you really only have kavana to open the paroches. But then the Mishnah Berurah sort of cools on it a little bit, and that maybe you really shouldn't do it on Shabbos, and the place where they do it, but the place, you shouldn't protest. But the Mishnah Berurah is not so excited about it. And similarly, he says that to open a door where you know that there's a bell on the other side, it's also based on this machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. So the Mishnah Berurah is also not so thrilled about it. So where does that leave us? So in this is on the last page is a copy Rabbi David Lichtenstein, who does the Headlines podcast. So he recently, I think he oversaw the editing. I don't think he did this himself, but he had like a team of people that put together, or maybe this is edited by Rav David Lichtenstein. So they went through the Mishnah Berurah and took out in Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Shabbos, and wherever they could, every sugya in Hilchos Shabbos, they put things in. So here, if you look on this last page, so he has there the second one on the right, it says, Pamonim shal gabe sefer Torah. What's the rule with Pamonim on a sefer Torah? And he quotes from the Mishnah Berurah, has the Taz and the Shach. And then he says here, "Bishmir Shabbos kehilchaso, hevi me'agon or shlomo zaman orbach shuvis manedu lo shayich kol kachatam k'di sheyishmu am ve'yakumu." That the reason that everybody should hear it and stand up, right? That's not really an issue today. Ve'ein ha'pamonim nosdim el l'kavod. It's really just to honor the Torah. U'meila tzarech iyun ichashiv begeder mitzvah. Is that really included in the mitzvah or not? Meaning, when the purpose of these bells was to wake everyone up and say, oh, the Sefer Torah is coming and everyone's going to stand up. So he says, then, okay, I can hear it. That's Letzorech Mitzvah. But when it's just a decoration for the Torah, so which it is today, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I'm not sure that that's really appropriate anymore. However, so it sounds like maybe you shouldn't have it. However, if you look at the bottom of the page, footnote Yud Tes, the bottom of the first column, going to the top of the left of the next column, he says B'shevet HaLevi. So B'shevet HaLevi, that is Rosh Shmuel of Vosner. So he wrote Kasav Shan Nidon B'Poskim Hu Mipamonim Ktsas Mipamonim, that the Poskim have talked about these bells Ktsas Gedolim Sheshomim Kolam. Some are large and you hear their sound. Aval Kayom, but today HaPamonim Shebekeser HaTor Kimat Ve'enam Nishmeim Ve'enam El Lanoi Bi'Alma. Then nowadays the bells aren't really to make so much sound, more noise, and you don't really hear them very much, and they're really just for beauty and not really even to make a sound, and therefore suggest to Shevet HaLevi that it's permissible. And in fact, right, most of the pamonim that we have, right, the things with the bells that we have in shul, right, there's no ringer inside the bells, right, it's just a matter of the thing itself banging against other things. So yeah, it might make some sound. I'm not sure it even qualifies as a psik resha that it's going to make sound. So perhaps that's what most people that have these rely on. Not so much that the bells are permissible, but the bells that are currently on our crowns are permissible because they're not really, those aren't necessarily really considered to be bells. All right. So that is the issue, Kavanah Torah. I hear some yelling going.